What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of Alpine Worlds, the Four Season Mountain Show podcast. Today, we're going to talk about social media.
We're going to talk about the good sides and the dark sides of social media, and we're going to give you a few tips how to go viral in 2024.
All right, 3, 2, 1, drop in.
Welcome back to yet another episode of Alpine Worlds, the Four Season Mountain Show. Today, we are going to talk about social media.
Yeah, it's all about social media today. It's a topic which we get asked very often from people and which is also pretty involved in our daily work flow, I would say. So yeah, it's a topic we need to talk about and I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Exactly. We're going to give you some tips and tricks and tell you the story on how it worked out for us and how we still sort of make it work.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about the disadvantages or the dark sides of social media and how you can grow on social media, all the things we have learned in the past. Yeah, I think social media for us is something which really helped us to live from what we are doing.
Yeah, I think so too. It was two sort of lines after we quit with professional kayaking and military sports group and all this like professional sort of Olympic team system. And I think the first thing we really got into was the content side of things.
Yeah, pretty much. I think after you stopped to be in the military sports group, you won the $1 million challenge. And I think like video making and social media is pretty close together. At the end today, pretty much everything goes over reels. So creating insane content is really probably the most important thing on social media in order to go viral, to get views, to get followers and everything. So I think it started pretty early that we started to make content like this.
Yeah, to really think about what could look amazing, because on things like GoPro $1 million challenge, you're not going to win with a nice clip. It needs to be an insane clip.
And yeah.
Insane clips just don't come along like this. You sort of need to have a plan.
And I think that's also a really good point on social media. Sometimes if you film something, you think, oh, this looks pretty cool, this could go viral. But that a video goes viral, it needs to be or pretty insane or like scandalous, you know, something weird filmed on a phone camera. But a nice video to go viral needs to be not just nice looking, a nice sunset or something. It needs to be insane. And I think it's the same as at the $1 million challenge. If you film something, sometimes you think, oh, it looks pretty good, but it has no chance to go into the $1 million challenge. And I think that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the normal, really good clips don't really matter. And I think that is the base of, I think, how social media works in my eyes. It's not about the really good stuff. It's about the exceptionally insane stuff, which actually makes a difference. You know, I only grew on Instagram with, I'd say, very viral clips. Like, sort of viral clips don't help.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, if you get like 1 million views on a video, you probably get like not even 500 followers from it. But if you have a video with 10 million views, like at least in my experience, you could get about 20,000 followers. It's pretty crazy, but somehow it needs to reach a certain point of views to just start to get followers and stuff like that.
I'm not exactly sure how it works. Maybe you get like into the proposal sort of site, you know, when you open Instagram, there's like this first thing where you see accounts which you might be interested in. I don't know if it like really connects with that one, but like having a clip with 200,000 or 300,000 views doesn't help at all. Or like a thing I was always thinking about, like if some huge page like GoPro or Insta360 or whatever, or even us, you know, if you would think that if we would tag you or give you a shout out on Instagram, it wouldn't help at all. Like,
it's crazy.
Zero, you know, maybe you get 5 followers, 10 followers.
But I remember it was a few years ago, it was a little bit different because I remember when like GoPro posted a video of you. I mean, we were already in that time where it didn't work anymore pretty good. But I heard from people before, if they got like a video on the GoPro page, which has like 15 million followers, they got like a few thousand.
Yeah, like Chris Rogers or also Nick Peschetto. Dolas, and at one time we were in Cape Town with them, that back in the day when GoPro would post a video of them on their main page, they would get like 10 or 20,000 followers.
Yeah,
like a ridiculous number, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. And now, like, I remember when we were still at GoPro, when we got the video on GoPro, which of maybe like 200-300 followers, yeah. And now I think it's even worse. So like all this stuff when pages are asking you, which have like, I don't know, a few hundred thousand followers, if they can repost your video because it's really good for you. At the end, it doesn't really make any difference to your followers. I think to really grow on social media, the only way is by being insanely famous in public or to create like viral videos and stuff like that. And talking about that, there is then also a big gap on the content, because I think, yeah, I don't know, like you can also go viral with a random phone clip where something gnarly happens. But I don't know if that kind of content gives you, I don't know, like a high quality followership or something like that. That's something which I often think, like some people try to go viral with some random content, but
very annoying videos, you know, with some like super stupid voiceover or, you know.
Yeah.
It goes viral, and you also see it on YouTube, like stuff like that can go viral. But then I think once the people see this video, they either follow you straight away with the follow button on top of the reel, or they come back to your profile. And I think that is the key thing. If they come back to your profile and there is pretty much only rubbish on it, like only videos which like are sort of having one goal, which is going viral, but they're not really like, you know, something you really want to watch, then I think you don't get a follow. But if people come back to your profile and it's like every video is just like, oh my God, this is insane.
Yeah. Or like every video is similar to the video you just saw and you want to see more, then you're going to say, okay, I'm going to follow this guy because I want to see, I don't know, once a week, some video of that type, you know. Then I also ask myself very often, like people try to go viral or to get followers by, I don't know, saying, yeah, if at 2,000 likes, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or stuff like this. And they somehow get followers. I saw some people with 100K just doing videos like that. But then my question is, what's next? What do you do with those followers, you know? Because I mean, I think most of the people, they don't put so much work into something where they don't get out anything of it. So there must be some kind of idea behind to get money or to do something with it. And very often I ask myself, okay, what is this guy gonna do with his followers? Like,
or like meme pages, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, they can do some promotion for somebody, I don't know. But like, what you gonna do with a huge meme page? Like, there is not really a value for, I wouldn't say any, but many brands, you know. Like, why would you sponsor a meme page? I don't know. I just don't know. It's not my world, but I'm asking that same question as well. Like,
honestly, I have to say, I don't know. Like, what's the value of a meme page? It could be, I don't know, it could be that they make money in some way, but I'm really not experienced.
If anybody knows, let us know. Yeah.
Let us know. If anybody
write us
knows
on Instagram or something, and
how much money you get with the 100K meme page, that would be pretty interesting for me. Maybe I don't know, but I don't see often like some promotions on meme page. They are always pretty strict on their memes.
I would also wonder what it helps to like put paid media on your personal account. Like I see some probably pretty desperate people out there, which like make some paid media on their own posts, which sort of like you can click on it and it brings you back to your account.
Yeah.
I don't know if that like helps.
It's pretty fun if I see some private person do like paid media on a random post. I mean, I'm sure it can't work.
No.
I always hear you need to at least put a few thousand euros in a paid media post that it really pays off.
I could imagine if you have like a super tidy profile with amazing high value content, which maybe is not gonna go viral that much because it's just very visually attracting and not like eye catching. And then you put a lot of money into paid media.
It could pay off. Yeah,
it could pay off.
But usually, like in my experience, what I saw, it's usually some random private people, which I don't know how much money they put, but I guess they're putting around maximum, a maximum 100 euros, but from 5 to 100. And I really think that it's just like putting, I don't know, a glass of water in a burning house. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I can only imagine.
But I've never seen one of those accounts blow up. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I think that, like, for me, in my experience, the only thing which helped is an insane amount of views, like hundreds of millions of views every year.
Yeah.
And you will grow big, but like a few thousand or even 100,000 or a million views just doesn't help. And that is the point, you know, like social media for me came to a point where I can't really take it serious anymore, because when you put up some amazing high quality content, which we are producing a lot with Alpine Worlds, you know, amazing professionally produced drone footage of Mario Capelli, or even FPV shots, or, you know, just some or camera shots. Camera shots are the worst. If you have like a professional camera crew and you make a professionally very nice looking video,
yeah, it doesn't get any views.
It just like gets destroyed on social media, which is a huge pity. And also photos, you know, I love photos. I really love photos. I think photos are so strong. But on social media, they just don't get any value, which I think is sort of so annoying.
I think that all the people, pretty much, they are a bit tired of professional created content. I think the market is full. It just everyone has seen so many professionally produced powder shots of a skier or product shots and stuff like that, so that everyone is just, oh, okay, this is like just promo.
I think people have sort of like a pretty strong built-in promotion filter in their heads. As soon as they see like a really amazing, smooth, cinematic footage of something, their brain automatically tells them, or even our brain, you know, tells us, somebody wants to sell me something there.
Yeah.
You know, this just is like
imagine,
promo.
Just imagine you're swiping reels, you know, and you see a really bad quality phone video with 100 million likes, you know, or like with, oh, that's probably too much, but with 1 million likes, for example. Your brain automatically tells you, oh, wait, this is for sure an very interesting video, because otherwise it wouldn't get those likes, because you see the bad quality, but you see the likes and you see, okay, like this connection,
something is happening,
something crazy is happening in this video. But if you see like a promotion video which is super fancy and everything, you don't expect something crazy to happen there, you know?
No.
Because you say, okay, like this is promotion stuff, beauty shots, everything.
We have seen that. Done that, been there.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pity, you know, like I really love I really love well-produced stuff, but obviously well-produced stuff also requests time. You know, if you have an amazing ski movie, you don't, or I don't want to watch it on my phone. And I think it's also a bit of a shame to watch an amazing movie on a phone, especially in 9:9 to 16, so social format.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's way better, best case scenario, you're in a cinema at the festival and you watch this movie and it's going to be amazing and it can be really different. It can be have longer pictures, longer segments, less cuts, like smooth.
Yeah, it's crazy when we were at the Freeride Film Festival watching all those movies so many times every day, pretty much for 1 week or for 14 days, I don't know. The nicest videos on the big screens were those which I would never watch on my phone to the end.
Yeah.
Like, really, the nicest videos I would probably go out after 10 seconds or maybe maximum half a minute. I would just go out. It would be super boring. Mm. But on the big screen with the sound and everything, those clips are amazing.
Yeah.
And it's...
So maybe it's not only the fault of the algorithm to not give this very well and, like, you know, high quality produced content a better reach, but it is probably the fault of the device and the fault of the human brain, because I guess a lot of the people which are on social media don't want to be on social media. Like, you open up social media because you're addicted or because you have some spare time and your brain is like, I want to see something, like bling bling bling, and then you open it up and you actually sort of are already wanting to close it.
Yeah,
but
then
you just see the next clip. When you see the next clip, it's just 10 seconds. It's just 10 seconds. It's just 10 seconds. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And I think for those kind of movies, you really need to take your time and really go into. And just imagine, like, most of the people are maybe sitting somewhere waiting for the bus or I don't know, or just on the couch randomly while talking with people, swiping on reels. They cannot really let themselves into a nicely produced movie where you really need to take your time. You really need to feel the vibe, to understand. I think social media is just not made for those kind of content, and I can understand that many people are getting super frustrated on social media because they produce insane stuff. Try to post it on social media, because at the end it's also an important part of our work, of a lot of other people's work, and they just put it on social media and say, what the fuck, like, this is so good, but nobody is watching it, but I think you really need to understand that that's probably not the right place for stuff like this.
I think it's a lot about, like, for me at least, it's a lot about balance. You know, I do like those posts which are a bit, like, usually a bit more work, like a really nice and well-made movie or piece of content, or maybe, you know, part of a YouTube episode. I would never post a YouTube episode on Instagram because it would be just, it would be no sense. But, you know, or maybe some nice pictures, but you still need to post them. But you don't really get anything back of it. You know, it's more like a favor, which I do mostly to my friends, to the community and stuff like that, but the reward is marginal. So that is, like, for me, in my head, I sort of call them community posts. You know, I make those because I want to give a value to people which really care.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, there is posts which, you know, I personally don't really identify too much with it, because if I ski, like, I don't know, 1,000 meter couloir, which takes me, if I'm going super fast, like close to a minute, I just cannot, I mean, I can post the whole line on Instagram, but I would just get a fine for it. You know, like, this is too long. Nobody want to watch a 1 minute clip. And if you go to our accounts, you see those clips usually starting at the drop-in or at the crux of a line. So the first 3 seconds are really catchy. You know, you're like, oh, I want to see that. But then the video just finishes off and you can totally see on the clip that
the line is not over.
the couloir would just go, like, kept going forever, you know, and it's a shame to cut it off. But you just get
destroyed by the algorithm.
Destroyed by the algorithm. So that is other posts where I'm like, yeah, I'm super sad to not be able that I just get a fine for sharing an amazing full line with my followers and give them, you know, a piece of content which is very close to reality, yeah, where they can see the whole line and all the stuff, but it just doesn't pay off.
Yeah, for me it's like that. I'm pretty sure, and I'm also honest about that. In my opinion, I'm focusing probably too much on viral content. I'm posting a lot, like pretty much every video is like kind of viral style. It has the right length, it has the right sound and everything. And I really think that I should probably also do more, as you called it, community posts, just to have like a balance. But as you said, you don't get anything back of it. And so like the tendency is always to, okay, I spent, I don't know, like 1 hour to prepare something for social media. Okay, so at least I want to get quite some views on it, you know. But I think, yeah, I think I will try in the future to make more also community stuff. To, I don't know, I mean, yeah, you don't get that views, you don't get the reach, you don't get anything back, but still for a close circle of people, it's nice to...
It gives value.
Yeah, it gives value to a close circle of people, but it, at the end, it's also nice to have that. And I think it's also more, you're probably getting closer to a few.
I do agree on that, but the thing is, you know, like what we all want, or what I really want, is be out there and send it, you know, or just having like great adventure or do something. And the time I spent on social media, it's not like the time I really want to spend. So sure, I can be a nice guy and do like amazing community posts or posting about lines, making huge write-ups all the time, you know, for my friends, for the close community. But it's probably a pretty small, it's a very important circle of people. And but for a brand, especially when it's not 100% core, you know, like let's think about the Snowblades. For them, it would probably really matter to catch this super focused and small.
Auftrieb, you mean?
For them, it would probably matter. But for somebody like Insta360 or even a ski brand or Mammut, you know, they want to reach, I guess, a bigger audience. Doesn't need to be 30 million.
Yeah.
But still, like, I guess the market is a bit bigger than the really core community.
Yeah. I think, as you said, like for the Auftrieb Blades, which is like a super tiny circle of people which are really using those blades and
which are potentially customers. Yeah.
Yeah. So there it's super important for sure to make those kind of, I call it promotion now, but at the end, it's probably just sharing experiences and photos and stuff like that. But yeah, the big brands want big reach, and the market is big for those brands. And so probably the viral posts have more value than the community posts, but still...
It's still about the balance, that's for sure. Like, yeah. I do agree. But, you know, that's what I said. I actually want to spend time out there. And so I try to give something to my community, but I don't want to spend every day hours in creating something amazing for social media where I just don't get anything back from the algorithm, from anyone, you know. So that's I mean, that was also the really real reason why we started our YouTube series and our podcast. Because we want to create something amazing in a nice format, which is really close to reality, which really gives the community and people a closer look in what we really do. And because you can never tell a 10-hour ski tour or mountain mission in a 10-second reel. That just doesn't work. It's impossible. You cannot summarize it that hard. Yeah.
And also the people which are on social media don't care about your 10-hour ski tour.
That is right.
They just wanna see the best of the best, and then they wanna go to the next reel, and they wanna still see the highlight, and they go farther. And I think it's nice to produce something also for people which maybe sit on the couch, put out their laptop or their TV and watch something for a longer time. But yeah, those circle of people is way smaller than on social media for sure. Because at the moment, everyone is like swiping reels just while doing something and everything, but not so many people are really like sitting back and
taking their time,
enjoying a real adventure in a longer format. Maybe, I don't know, talking about those things, I'm thinking about to make our YouTube videos even longer. I don't know, because
we already produced one movie this year, which is hopefully going to go to the festival, so that is longer, you know, but
no, because
it's
I think
lot of work. It's an insane amount of work. If you compare an Instagram post to a YouTube episode, you know, an Instagram post, what it takes, it takes an amazing day in the mountains, which you do anyway. Some strict filming, you know, that you don't fuck it up, that you have a very nice picture, lens is clean and everything. And then it takes maybe like an hour of figuring out which sound, which length, and so on. But making a YouTube video for us with the standards we want to have and want to keep, because
it's incredible work for sure.
It's like 100.
No, but I'm just thinking, hours. You know, like if we want to reach people which really sit back and enjoy a video, getting into the vibe and everything, I don't know if 10 minutes is long enough that somebody really sits back and enjoys the show, you know.
I mean, we have barely posted any YouTube video below 10 minutes.
Below 10 minutes, that's true. But sometimes it happens. I think, if we want to really reach those kind of people, then I think at least 15 minutes is a good size.
Yeah, the people which really appreciate, you know, getting the chance to be on the adventure with us. Yeah, but I think, you know, social media for me, now I really see it also like that it's the tool to actually be able to produce this longer content, because it's really hard. It's very expensive to produce longer content, or very time intense. And I want to go in the mountains and don't spend like weeks and months in front of my computer editing. So it is expensive. It costs a lot of money. And social media is, I guess, a great tool to, you know, get some money there and then put it into YouTube or into longer formats, which I don't get much out of it. But I just personally, I'm just really passionate about it. I just love it.
Yeah, for sure. But let's talk again about social media. I have one question, and because I actually don't really know what is your workflow, I only know my own workflow. But if you want to produce a viral reel, how important is the sound you choose? Or can it also be like raw sound? Or what do you think about the sounds?
It's so hard. There's not really, I think, a really clear rule out there. But in my experience, the right sound really helps. I don't want to say that a raw video or a video with O-tone can't work, but I think the chances that it will work are way higher if you put some time and analyzing into the sound you choose. Like it's mostly not sounds, which I would personally choose, because I love the sound.
Yeah.
Want to be clear on that.
I
really avoid some of the trending sounds, which I just can't hear, which I just completely hate. But a lot of them I use, and I always try to choose a sound. So I go on the Reels function of Instagram, and I just swipe down, and I see if there is sounds coming up more often or more regularly, which on viral reels, which sort of gives me an idea, okay, this sound could be trending. And now also Instagram, I know that it's not in every country, shows you if this sound is trending or not. So I try to choose a sound, one of those sounds, which sort of suits to my video. And I also try to use the sound at the start of the wave, before it really, really breaks through. Mm-hmm. Because if you use a sound which has been viral for weeks and already has, I don't know, 300,000 or a few million videos with the same sound on it, I think it's really hard to get into this top percentage where people would click on the sound. And because I think that also what matters, you know, if you click on the sound and then on the sound you have the top videos, the newest videos and the top videos, and if you get there at the top videos, and that would happen sometimes with our clips, if you are all the way up there, then I guess you generate a lot of
of views and traffic. Just because you used a viral sound. Mm.
And if I think if you're at the start of the wave, before the sound goes like from 15,000 people using the sound to 15 million people or even 100 million people using the sound, I think that is that's the point which you want to catch.
I'm not sure about that. Because sometimes,
yeah, tell me.
Sometimes I used a sound which was fitting pretty well to my video and which was viral, but already since a long time. And the video still got viral. I don't know. I mean, I think we both can't really know how it's really working, but that's just some experience stuff. And that fact made me thinking about, I can totally understand your point of view, and I also think that sometimes that's the case, but on some sounds I just have the feeling that they go viral for a very, very long time, even if it's already been used for millions of people.
Yeah, I don't think you can make, that's what I said at the start, you cannot make a rule. Like not a rule, it's just a little feeling which I have, or a little idea which is in my mind, and I don't strictly follow this rule, not at all. Because if there is another sound which sort of seems to work, which people seem to vibe with or just attract people, and it suits my video perfectly. You know, you have like this one crux that, let's talk about skiing. You have this couloir, and then it comes a drop.
Yeah.
And the beat drop of the audio just perfectly matches with the clip. Yeah. And it just like gives you that feeling you want to create in people.
Yeah.
Then I take that sound.
Yeah. I think the same. I think it's really important also that your sound, because I see a lot of videos where people use a viral sound
just randomly.
Randomly, just to use the viral sound. It doesn't match with the video at all. And I think that just doesn't work. So it really needs to fit your video and to create like this perfect combination of sound and visual. And then another thing which is really interesting for me, I mean, everyone knows there is those super often used sounds, which there are that certain periods when you swipe reels that every second reel has the same sound. And I think in the first moment, you guess that that's a viral sound. But I'm not that opinion, because at some sounds, I have never seen a viral video. Everyone used that sound, but I've never seen a really viral, and when we talk about viral videos, I'm talking about 10 million plus views. I saw maybe some 100Ks, 500Ks, but I never saw a really viral video. But everyone is using that sound.
It's sometimes, if you go to the sound page, then there is a few.
Yeah, but
it's those few, and then people start to hype up that song because everybody uses it.
Yeah.
But it's probably so over, that's what I mean. It's probably so overhyped or so oversaturated that it's so hard to, you know, to stick out, because in the end you need to stick out. Like, there is a certain amount of watch time on social media, on total like users spending time on social media, and this time gets put into certain videos, you know. And if you are generating, like the last super viral video I had, which now is, I guess, on almost 40 million views, has over 24 years of watch time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So like, there was people 24 years long consistently watching this 21-second clip. So this time gets taken away from other objects. So you need to stick out insanely.
Yeah. Totally. And then there is other sounds which I barely never saw on social media. But those few videos which I saw were all super viral.
No.
It maybe if I swipe 5 hours reels, I see that song one time. But that video is viral. And I always try to find those kind of sounds. But like all this sound finding thing, and then that it's matching and everything is so time consuming and
frustrating. Because the sounds are usually pretty shit.
Yeah, sometimes they're shit. Yeah,
sometimes they match on the video, but it's obviously not music which I would listen
to. And I think in some periods there aren't even sounds.
Yeah,
which
we had that last week. You remember? We're like, oh, there was this one. How was that song again? Like this shitty song I just couldn't use.
I think I know what you mean, but I don't have it. I'm glad I don't have it now.
Thanks God.
Yeah, there is this sounds, but
and it was only about that song. Everybody tried to post, like, you know, forcing in, trying to get that viral video with that viral sound now.
Yeah, but that was exactly a sound which everyone used, but I have never seen viral videos. Yeah. Maybe there is a few. But
there is for sure quite a lot of them, but.
But I don't think that there is like really big, big viral videos.
No, I tried to skip those songs. I hate them. Well,
and for example, last week I was looking for sounds and I didn't find the sound. And then I just said, okay, so I'm not going to post it. Maybe next week there is something which I like, which matches my video and which has the potential to go viral because, I don't know, I saw a couple of videos having 20 million views on it. And that's pretty much my way, how I choose the sounds. And I think it's kind of a rich walk between choosing a viral sound, but still choosing a sound which I personally also at least kind of like. And I can...
Don't hate too much.
Don't hate too much. And I think it's sometimes it's kind of a sketchy rich walk to find those balance between... Yeah, between the sound and
what do you think about cuts? Like, I have the experience that videos with cuts that don't work. Doesn't matter how good the cut is. Like, in general, again, it's not a fixed rule, but it's just something I feel.
I think that most of the videos are working without cuts. So, like, are working way better without cuts. But then there is this style, like the cuts perfectly aligned, match to the beat. But those are like really fast cuts. And it's not anymore to see like a real action riding down a cooler or something. Or it's maybe, I don't know, the most beautiful sunset I have visited in my life. And then it's like bam, 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 bam. But super fast cuts. Mm. Those are working really good as well.
But that is then like a real creator sort of thing where you real like, and the cuts usually are like 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 seconds. And it's more like a strong, fast and really matching to the music sort of thing.
I tried to, like recently, a few weeks ago, I tried to make a reel. I think the reel is pretty insane. Like, you know, those powder slashes with the stick in my hand. And I tried to make like cuts to the beat and quite fast cuts from that action, like powder slash riding to another perspective and stuff like that. And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I thought this video is really cool.
Same for me. I did that similar video. Sometimes I'm just lazy and I go to your account, see what you do, make something similar. That's what I did.
Yeah,
I love that video. It's also a bit longer, maybe like 30 seconds or something. It could have been way longer, but over 30, I just never saw a video working. And I love that video, but it just didn't get any views. And it's so annoying. And you spend maybe like 2-3 hours to make that clip and match it up with the beat. And it's just, it gets like 20-30,000 views.
I think that those cuts pretty fast go in the direction of a professionally produced video.
And or it helps to distract. I'm not sure. I'm also thinking that it helps to distract, because if there is a cut, people get sort of just that super small moment where the brain is like, no, why I'm actually on Instagram, let's swipe again, you know, like, let's see something, maybe
could be,
it's some
really could be.
I don't know,
and maybe because of that you need to make the cut so fast that I don't know, the person is like, what the fuck.
I think that's how it works. It's like something they watch, they're really constant, that's the most beautiful sunset, your brain wants to know what's the most beautiful sunset, and then it's like and the brain is not fast enough to say like, what the fuck I'm actually doing here, like,
that might be true. But I think, as you said, if you have like a video going for 10 seconds riding down a couloir in our case, and after 10 seconds you have a cut,
then it's like, I saw that. That's
cool. That is really bad. I think if you do cuts, you need to do them extremely fast, way faster than we did also in our last videos. Otherwise, I think it doesn't work. Otherwise, just leave it as it is. No cuts. I mean, no cuts are amazing. I really like that. It's more it's more real.
But so sometimes it's just amazing. Like, good cuts are beautiful.
Yeah.
Good cuts are amazing. And if you have a line where there is a super interesting part at the start, then a beautiful part in the middle, but nobody really cares on Instagram. Yeah. And then there is a crux at the end.
Yeah.
It would be amazing to like just put that middle part out.
Yeah.
But it's...
So looking at it from a social media perspective, you should probably make 3 videos out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even,
you make the drop-in, you make
like
the crux.
Like 7 to 10 seconds long. You just need to make 3 videos out of it. And yeah, for sure, some people are going to ask, where is the rest of the line or why is the video so short? But the algorithm and the mass of the people, they just watch it. So that's actually the...
It's the real,
it's a sad reality. Yeah.
It's a sad reality. It is what it is, you know. That's why we are making YouTube, and that's why I love it so much. You know, I just, like, to be honest, it just annoys me so much if I ski an amazing line top to bottom. I don't stop because that's always my goal, you know, to ski a line nonstop and fast and everything. And I'm stoked on it. Like, yeah, I skied that so sick.
Yeah.
And it's amazing for myself, and it's amazing, and I would love to share it with the people, but I cannot share it. Like, I can't share it on Instagram, it just doesn't help.
Do you think you are addicted to social media?
Fuck yeah. Unfortunately. Like, it's okay. I said one thing to myself, and I believe myself in that thing. If it wouldn't be my job, there is a good chance that I wouldn't post anything on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. So I was thinking about, or I was like, looking at myself in the last months a lot to figure out, like, if I'm really addicted to social media, because I have obviously quite a lot of screen time when I'm not in the mountains. And I always tell myself, yeah, that's because it's also part of your work. You need to check out the viral sounds. You need to see the trends. You need to be there. You need to feel the direction and stuff like that. But then sometimes I also see myself, for example, watching reels which don't help me at all. Mm. There is no sound involved which is interesting for me. It's not a content which is even interesting for me. I don't get anything out of it, and I still spend time on watching that reel. And then I understand, okay, so that's not anymore your work, what you do. You are on social media just as a normal customer, you know. And for me, it's really hard to be strict on social media, to really focus on, okay, now I go to Instagram and I do my work. I'm not like just hanging around and then I try, because I mean, I personally sometimes, or very often, I look out for sounds by swiping reels. And obviously, if some random phone clip comes with a million likes, which has not a sound which I'm interested in, which is not a content which I'm interested in, I still watch it.
Yeah.
And I lose time.
That's the thing. Like, we are working, part of our work happens on a platform, which is Instagram or sometimes TikTok, which is made to keep you there.
Yeah.
Or like, just, I don't think they even do it with a bad idea in their head, but the algorithm just developed that way.
Yeah.
That it shows you stuff which you're really tempted to watch.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So you are on that platform and it feeds you with stuff, and you don't really have control over it, what it's going to feed you. It's just going to feed you something which you're most likely going to watch.
Yeah, and it makes you addicted. Like, you really have the feeling, oh, I need to go on Instagram to, I don't know, look at something. And then you swipe the reels. And then maybe I go to Instagram with the aim to find a sound. But then I just get lost.
Yeah.
I just get lost. I get distracted by other stuff which is not connected to my work. And for me, that's something where I was thinking about and trying to improve. But it's super hard. It's really hard for me. Yesterday, I tried to not use my phone the whole day, just to see what happens if I'm not using my phone the whole day. At the end, I wasn't able because I had to text back on some messages and stuff like that. But still, my phone time was very low. And I think that also helped me a lot, because I didn't, like, when I went to my phone, because I didn't completely not use it, as I said, but when I went to my phone, I really tried to keep the time on the screen very shortly. And so I was more focused when I went to Instagram to really do my job and then just go out again. And I think that helped me a lot yesterday.
I think it's like, I think it's already a lot if you are aware of it. And I think I'm really aware of this situation. Like I see myself when I'm swiping reels or stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
I just see it as I would poison myself all the time, like just like consuming that poison.
Yeah.
I think that is already a really important thing, and I really try to avoid it. But as you said, the line between work and super inefficient time.
Yeah.
For me, it's so close.
Yeah, it's really close.
And it's so hard to be fair and true to yourself. Was that necessary now? Did that help me or it didn't?
So it's a really hard topic. And
it's a crazy...
I think I'm not at the point where I can say I'm happy with my workflow. I mean, for sure, it could be worse, but I hope that I can improve that in the future to be more strict. Mm. At the end, it's crazy. Like we pretty much live from social media, that people watch our videos, and in our podcast, we are talking about that you should pretty much only use social media if it's your work.
I also like it to see what my friends are up to and to get inspiration. You know, you do see some amazing clips sometimes on Instagram. Skiing, paragliding, climbing, like the most insane stuff you most likely gonna see there.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a small percentage of all the content you get thrown with.
I think if I would not work on Instagram and just consume, I would really like to see what my close friends are doing and what some of the people are doing.
And what the Vega brothers are doing.
Exactly what the Vega brothers are doing, for sure. No, but I was saying what some people are doing, which inspire me.
Yeah.
Which like inspire me to do something. I mean, if I see a really cool video of a paraglider or something, I just get that feeling, I want to go paragliding. And then I go paragliding. And I think that's really good to get like those inputs to get motivated to do something, to go out and, I don't know, to jump huge cliffs. If I see a lot of people jumping huge cliffs, I get the feeling, I also need to jump a big cliff, and that's something great. You get inspired. But I think it's really hard. And I think everyone needs to find his own way and his own technique to avoid to get really addicted to social media and lose like half of your lifetime on
because that's what it is.
That's what it is. It's incredible. And I think it's even worse with the younger generation.
It's always worse. All the generations said so far.
Yeah, but that's also true.
It probably is. Yeah.
I mean, I just saw some video of a guy which was playing around with statistics and stuff like that, and it really showed that the younger the people are, I mean, as soon as they have a phone, the screen time is insane. Like they are literally losing half of their life on the phone, and it's crazy. Just to say, for an example, like yesterday when I pretty much didn't use my phone, I had the feeling, but I'm gonna try it again, that I was doing more. Like I was, because there are those moments where you don't really have something to do and you sit down and then maybe you take the phone.
Because you're sort of tired.
Sort of tired.
Or like out of energy. Yeah. And I think you lose even more energy if you get on Instagram then.
But in those moments, if you don't have the phone, and just imagine it, maybe probably, I don't know, if you didn't try it for the last three years, you didn't have that situation. If you don't have your phone and you sit on the couch and you're not completely wasted, you're kind of boring.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to sleep now. But if you're not going to sleep, but you sit there, you're like thinking about the universe. Yeah, maybe you think about the universe, but that's not something bad.
Yeah.
But once then, you're like, fuck, I don't want to think about the universe, you're like,
But then, for example, I was sitting on the couch and was like, okay, now what I'm gonna do now? You know, like okay, I'm here. I'm not completely tired. I'm a bit tired. I would take my phone if I would have it, but I don't have it. So then I was like, okay, let's go downstairs and maybe pack my power glider, which is open since 5 days because it was wet for drying. So I went down and I did that. Then I sat back on the couch and I was like, okay, yeah, now I'm going to do something else. And maybe I spent like 2 hours on, you know, like preparing some stuff or some maintenance on my snowboard bindings and stuff like that. And if I would have had the phone, I would have sit on the couch.
Yeah. It's true.
It's just an example. It's just an example which really makes me... I think, yeah, it's good, but it's also scary to
It's scary,
see.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so that are the dark sides of the social media, at least in my opinion.
I mean, great side is that we can ski every day and go out in the mountains every day and produce an amazing YouTube stuff and movies, but yeah, it's tough. Like you need to be I think you need to be really strong to use it in a way that it doesn't affect your life quality in a negative way.
Yeah, and probably if you feel that you use social media a lot, maybe too much, then you should really like have an eye on it. Because I think many people just don't really even realize. And I think once you realize, okay, maybe I'm losing a lot of time on social media, then just having an eye on it and just looking at the third person perspective also sometimes on you and on your phone and just try to understand what is going on, what I'm doing here, what I do get out of social media, because you get something out, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
As we said before. But then also
what it takes away
and what are my options, what are my other possibilities to do when I'm not on the phone now. But that's probably something which is really important for everyone at those times. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for every person in the world at the moment.
I think so.
Probably,
I think so.
Yeah. Like it's not only about skiing and stuff like that. I think that's a topic which many people are talking about and thinking about. But yeah.
I think we should definitely chat more about this topic in the future, also on our podcast. I think it's super interesting. And also, yeah, I think today we could give you a little insight on especially sounds and, you know, like what sort of works. But it was obviously, it's so much stuff behind and we have, I think, quite a few years of experience in it that we could never, you know, wrap it up in one episode. So
yeah,
I'm sure we're gonna talk about more. You know, there is like the length of the video, the eye catch, like all like so many things which play together in creating a viral reel.
Yeah, there is also some other things like different types of videos which have a high tendency to go viral and other ones which will never go viral.
Yeah, but for example, POV works generally way better than the stick on the backpack. Barely ever works, you know.
But that also just talking about, I don't know, like the classic viral ski shot of someone which is not a professional skier, which just skis on the slope at sunset or sunrise.
Yeah.
And just like doing nice turns and enjoying. There's so many viral videos.
Or paragliding. You barely ever see any viral paragliding clips apart from throw starts.
Yeah. And
or like some super amazing, insane stuff, which is so hard to create and to make a lot, or crashes, you know, but that's all stuff which you don't want to purposely produce.
So for example, if you want to go or if you want to grow as a paraglider, probably just focus on throw starts.
Yeah, look at the blick. That's what he does. That's what he does.
No, actually, I did one viral video with paragliding, which was not a throw start, but it was an insane clip. You know,
with the follow cam.
With the follow cam, I was flying over the clouds, sunrise.
And you were like
opening up, laying here and flying over the clouds.
Such a sick shot. But that is those shots you can try to make them.
But it's super hot.
Super hard. Like you need to have the perfect weather, the perfect light, the perfect everything. And then you might.
Yeah. And just imagine for that shot, I flew out. I did this like 10 seconds of laying back, creating the shot. And then I was above the clouds. There were no holes in the clouds. And I was like, okay, fuck, I'm gonna need to fly back and top land again, because otherwise
you're in the water.
Yeah.
That was I think a shot for the GoPro Million Dollar Challenge. Yeah. So we really tried to create amazing content.
Yeah. I was really on it. I was really focused on creating this $1 million shot, which didn't make it in the cut.
No.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. So it's there is certain things which, or in kayaking, you know, it's the same. Like a super sick kayaking video will barely ever go viral. It's mostly...
Have you seen viral kayaking
videos? Yeah, there is a lot. Like there is those...
Waterfalls?
Sometimes, but then it needs to be insanely insane.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is like this this flips in a freestyle boat, you know, just in the lake where people are like in flat water doing like flips.
Really?
Yeah, that thing sort of works. Same for paragliding, you know, like the throw starts.
Yeah.
So there is certain things which seem to work, which seem to attract people also outside of the sport, because that's what it is. There is not a million kayakers on Instagram which watch kayaking videos, or maybe justly. But if you want to reach 100 million, you need to reach people which don't kayak.
Yeah, which don't kayak. And then probably if you're really into a sport, you don't have that eye on what catches someone who doesn't know anything about this sport. Because sometimes for me, I think like, why is this video going viral? I mean, it's super average, but I don't have the eye from a perspective from someone who doesn't do that sport. And I think analyzing that is quite valuable for someone who wants to grow.
But yeah, that is the thing. Like we have been analyzing this stuff a lot, and I think we have some interesting stuff to share. And we really want to help everyone to make the step happen, because as we said, it can be a great tool to get the chance to really do more of your sports and live from your sports, which for me is the biggest gift I could wish for.
Yeah.
And saying that, I guess it's time we're gonna go out there and send it.
And not,
hope you guys
not,
did it as well.
Not use our phone for the rest of the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Cheers for tuning in. I hope you could give some insights. Definitely gonna get back on that at some point, for sure, a few times.
Sure. Then we're gonna let you know how our social media addiction is going. Or if you have found new ways of preventing from it. And it was nice to talk. And see you next time.